So it's a big urology podcasting love-in, Renu.
It really is. A long-awaited one.
GU Oncology podcasting royalty we're in the presence of today.
We sure are.
So this is a big conjoined podcast between myself and Renu, GU Cast.
Your amigos, myself and Tom.
And Onco Alert. Just me, Gil.
Yeah, it's great.
Gil with a big team behind him. Yeah.
The Oncolor community. So we thought we'd have a bit of fun together, because we know a lot of listeners and viewers to all three podcasts probably listen a bit to each other, and then maybe we have some audience we can share and pick up from each other.
It's amazing how APCCC attracts all the podcasters.
Yes, we are here in Lugano.
Yeah.
It is gorgeous, isn't it?
Pretty nice.
Prostate cancer meeting.
Yeah, what are you guys doing?
I'm waiting for the kidney cancer. Yeah. Is that tomorrow?
Sunday.
Yeah,
it's
Sunday.
So we decided we're going to ask a couple of questions first.
Yeah.
We're going to interview your amigos.
Yeah, to the podcasters that inspired us.
Exactly.
Yeah, so. I'm a big fan of yours. Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't miss an episode.
That's sweet.
Yeah, it's, I mean, guys are great.
We wanted to ask you, why and how did you start your amigos, Brian and Tom?
Yeah, I can start. I mean, I think Tom and I talk almost every day, and we were talking.
We weren't talking every day before then, were we?
And,
I don't think we were. I think you're giving the wrong impression.
It was probably early 2020.
And it was during the pandemic, wasn't it?
It was just before the pandemic.
It's the same time.
Was it? It was. Tom interrupts me a lot. It was.
I actually don't think that's right.
It was.
This is what we're used to.
Hey, we should do a podcast. This sort of thing. It was just sort of a spitball idea of let's do. We didn't even know how to do it or how to record, and we're still struggling with that.
No, it started badly. It went downhill, and the worse the better. As far as I remember,
more successful.
Yeah. Then the pandemic hit, and I think that's what really kickstarted it.
Deteriorated during the pandemic,
and then we had all these topics and et cetera, et cetera. And then we just sort of built listeners, and then it just sort of fed upon itself.
So were you guys in the same room when you started the podcast?
This is the first time I've seen you for months.
We're almost never in the same room.
Occasionally there are advisory boards and we have to be together. And those big rooms at ASCO, we find ourselves there, but on separate sides.
The long table. Yeah. But how many in the group? Because your amigos is you guys, but you do have...
Extended family. Silky and Sweeney.
So the origin of the Your Amigos
It's important to say Silky actually does lots of our prostate podcasts with us.
Silky and Chris do a lot of our prostate.
They're fabulous.
The origin of the Your Amigos group, which is eight, was we were all on Twitter. We thought it was not that great and a lot of self-adulatory. We thought the content was bad. Not bad. We thought the content wasn't as good as it can be scientifically. So we said, and each one of us didn't tweet that much, what if we band together and put out high-quality scientific tweets?
So my recollection was completely different. Yeah. My recollection was the second part, which I think is right, is none of us were comfortable on Twitter. And we were all uncomfortable. We all said, I wouldn't mind doing it, but I don't want to do it by myself. And it was a case of safety in numbers. Yeah. And then we were all tweeting from the same account, but it came apparent we weren't very good at it.
We
really weren't. And so then what happened is Brian and I said, look, we're not good at writing. Which is true. Yeah. Are we better at talking? And that was the key. That's how the podcast started.
Yeah, no, that's
and
fair.
And I don't fair. Think, I think we're pretty poor at both, to be honest.
But you realise there was comedic value in that.
Yes, I think that's the only reason people listen, to be honest.
That's certainly one of the reasons we enjoyed it. We've had that format's very popular, the banter between the hosts, and we thought, that seems to be a really key ingredient to have audience engagement, is having some banter and stuff like that. So we have tried to copy the banter.
But I think that's why it's so impressive you guys weren't in the same room. Stop it.
Because the microphone back?
No,
the banter is usually better when you're in the same location, but you guys somehow seem to just make it work.
Yeah, I think we've done 325 podcasts.
Yeah, no, so you put out
amazing. We do put out a lot.
It's amazing.
Yeah, so I think you just sort of learn when somebody's about to say something.
Yeah.
Tom's always about to say something.
Yeah,
right?
You just assume it's always.
I have to fight for my seconds. Yeah. But so you're right, we've done some in the same room here, and it's a whole lot easier when you can read and kind of, read body language.
But Brian, we've talked a lot about ourselves. Why don't we ask other people to talk about
us? Yeah, come on.
That's very generous.
Turn over there. Uncle Alert. Say, Uncle Alert's on the corner.
Tell us about Uncle Alert.
What's there to say about Onco Alert?
I think it's incredibly successful.
When did it start?
You've had 20 million impressions at this meeting. Can I tell you a little about Brian? I'm not talking about myself too much.
He's
interrupting himself.
We haven't actually launched anything yet, have we, Brian? Because the swim this morning took longer than we expected. You've had 20 million impressions. How does one achieve 20 million impressions at an APCCC meeting?
Very easy. I mean, it's not us. It's all our colleagues that are actually tweeting the whole time. They're Onco alerting. So, I mean, when you work as a team, when everybody's kind of sharing, it's easy.
And you're putting out so many tweets, and I think they're very relevant. You've got lots of people doing that. How have you built that family so effectively?
Well, I mean, it's been just time. We've been around for about 5 years. Yeah. We started in March of 2019, exactly 1 week before my son was born.
Oh, wow.
So you can imagine how happy my wife was when I was there with my phone all the time.
Man.
Oh, God, yeah. She forgave me. Eventually, she forgave Onco Alert. And, you know, the rest is history. So she allows me to continue, and I take full advantage of it.
You made those fabulous videos, I remember, where you summarised the week's data and you talked super fast. Did you train to talk that fast, or did you do good at it?
I did.
Do you know how fast you talk?
Yeah. No.
I just heard the Your Amigos podcast, and I just decreased the speed by half, and then I just trained up on that, and I kind of worked on it. I'm getting there, Tom, right. But maybe in like 10 years.
I love those videos. I thought they were fabulous.
So what's the spectrum of what you do? It's videos, tweets? What?
It's webinars, podcasts, okay. The weekly newsletter.
Wow.
We do the videos, the roundups. Anything we can possibly do that we think is going to actually help our colleagues, that's what we get.
When you got those charts, you know, I sometimes see those human actually produced charts, and you're always number one on the charts. Brian and I don't even appear. when you produce those charts, how is that? I mean, that must be, is that based on the volume of tweets you're putting out, or is that because people are coming into your tweets? What is it? How have you created the most popular Twitter sort of meeting account?
See, but I think with
Onco Alert, just go and get a drink
really
or something.
Onco Alert just being number one. It's everyone that is within Onco Alert. So normally it's like 1 to 10.
Yes.
But if you look at it, at least 8 of those are part of Onco Alert. So Onco Alert is all those people that are in there. This is just the account that kind of represents about 160 faculty.
Do you want to give a shout out to your big faculty who
absolutely.
Are doing it?
Absolutely.
And who are those people? I mean, obviously, Brian or two of those.
Alphabetically, or how do you want? Right, no. But we have an amazing faculty. We have people that have been around from the beginning. Tony Schreri, who has been just so supportive. Silke, you. I mean, that we have so many people that have been there from the beginning. And it's just, it's so great to be able to have initiatives and have people that believe in you and say, you know what, we'll be there, we'll support you. So,
I think you're doing something fabulous.
Well, here.
Yeah,
I think y'all are you.
Agreed.
It's all about a similar sort of service, isn't it, to try and educate ourselves and exchange ideas. And podcasting's great for that.
I mean, I think we would do it if it was just Tom and I listening. Honestly, like, we have a lot of fun doing it.
Yes. That's a really great comment to make. So it's not so much.
I get smarter about bladder and prostate cancer and kidney cancer.
I think they did one of those things. You know, when the people go into a house, Big Brother stuff, and they did it once. But when they did it for a whole week, and they excluded people, more people, and then in the end, people came out. And then when he came out, they realized they weren't actually broadcasting it at all. It was an experiment where they were doing it without broadcasting it. So people have done that experiment.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Where I know it's not got any relevance.
You're quite
skeptical. I know
where he was.
I know it's got no, but the point is, you know, people have done that experiment where no one was actually listening. You know, when a tree falls in a wood, can anyone hear?
How about you, Cass? Tell us. You guys started about the same time?
Same as you.
I'm already pretty short.
They're trying to get on the number one step before we even got to that.
No, I wanted to step back because I was worried that we couldn't. So I took a step back there, and then Brian came back with me because he couldn't. We ended up in the water if we're not careful.
We can go for a swim.
Yeah.
March 2020.
We just celebrated our fourth birthday, so it's been 4 years.
Yeah, March 2020, just pandemic time. Yeah.
What do you like the best?
At the time, Tom, it was a pandemic, and we were severely locked down in Australia, you might recall.
Oh, we did worse in the UK, I think.
Did you? No, I don't think so.
We came last. I'm sure we came last.
Okay.
We can get to the lowest level. The Onco league table, the UK was well down there.
And so the best bit to answer your question was when we were severely locked down for 2 years, it was being able to chat with colleagues all the time.
Yeah.
So we used to really look forward to it. We'd go into this quiet room in at Peter Mac, and you know, you'd be talking to someone who you'd normally be seeing at the EAU or ASCO GU, and you weren't going to see them. And it was a really nice way of engaging with them.
And
so that was probably the best thing.
Really early in the morning or late in the evening, because we had to work with US and European times, and you know, already we were in curfew and lockdown and the hospital would be deserted, but at least then we could just catch up with friends and colleagues, and it was just
helping.
Like a little bit of a shining
fantastic.
Light.
What's
yeah.
your best and your worst moment so far?
Start with the worst. Yeah.
I don't know.
How many podcasts have you recorded? The ones we get complaints about.
You're like, oh, that was terrible.
We've never scrapped one. We've had one on where, and we say to all the guests, I don't know, do you do the same thing? It's not a live thing, not like Your Amigos Live, but we say to everyone, look, if there's anything you don't like, we can always edit it out, but we don't usually have to. But when we had Ben Davies on,
there was a real risk of having to edit our podcast for the very first time.
We said Andrew Vickers might listen to this. You know, exactly right. And Vickers, who's a great friend of ours as well, was straight on the email straight after. Ben Davies, that was completely unreasonable. So I don't know. I felt a bit uncomfortable about that one. And the other one was we did profile this thing about mannels, about these all-male panels in urology. We'd written a paper in European Urology, did a podcast, and then a very eminent Canadian urologist friend of ours had written a letter to the editor in European Urology. And that sparked off a whole bunch of pylon for him, actually, on Twitter, people going, he doesn't get it, he's part of the problem, etc. So we did a podcast afterwards. We got European Urology Associate Editors who'd written a nice piece, balancing it all out. But he felt very strongly he should be on the podcast, and we felt very strongly to help make it all go away, we should not do that. Yeah. We should just focus on a way forward. So they're the two I think of, Tom, that would say, could we have done them?
So those are the highlights. What were the downs?
Exactly the same things. Yeah, no, and highlights, this is the highlight so far. We get to talk to podcasting royalty. Highlights, there have been lots of great highlights. We've had a few patients on, quite a few patients on.
We did that great podcast on sexual intimacy and sexual rehabilitation after prostatectomy.
Oh yeah. Oh, wow. I got to play with
we're
used to shit.
I just feel guilty about holding on.
I'll tell you when we had on. This is a linker into Your Amigos. So you made the Enact paper of the month on Your Amigos podcast.
Yeah.
Right?
We got some grief over that.
And then the following month, we had a title on our podcast featuring an act as Do Not Enact. This is a turkey of a paper. And Matt Cooperberg came on and we gave him a really hard time.
We did give him a hard time. And I felt bad about that. Yeah, we had to buy him dinner at EAU.
We got a great reaction to it. Yeah. But
How do you decide content? Who decides content?
Oh, it's a bit of... How do you decide content? Whatever's happening, whatever people are talking about.
Yeah, we just
big
sort of,
paper.
Talk and figure it out and say, let's do this, let's do that.
We're guided by tweets a bit. What's really topical out there? What are people weighing in on? That will often
paper of the month's a good thing. I think it'd be good to have regular things like that, so you've got a slot to aim for. We got to have a paper of the month, whereas we sort of make up all the content. We have a plan usually.
Our paper of the month happens very sporadically.
That's right. not 12 in a year.
It's not actually paper of the month.
So now we've got a studio. So if we have guests in town, especially international guests, we'll often invite them into the studio, and it'll be something based on their research.
Your technology is much better than ours.
Yeah. Well, it's no.
I'm still rolling with an iPhone, so I don't know what you're.
So we often say that, there are a lot of podcasts that start, but not many that go beyond the 5-6 episode mark.
Yeah, there's a value of depth between 5 and 10, like 90% of podcasts.
Yeah, so people always ask us, how do you keep it going? what do you guys say? What's the reason that you've made it to episode 300?
I don't know. We just kept doing it. Determination, like a lot of things, right? We just kept doing it.
We bored
our
audience into submission.
And again, because the pandemic hit, people had time to listen. And I think that really sort of got our start, and then when the wave of that had passed, at least for content for our podcast, then there was obviously plenty of academic content.
Actually, I think what I love about Your Amigos is the fact that everything you guys do is so organic. It appears incredibly organic. But it's so great because that's what pulls you in. As a colleague, that's what you want to see. You don't want to see something that's organized. It's just like on the fly.
What's next for Uncle Lert?
What's next wrong?
This is a good way to wrap it up, isn't it?
Depends. It all depends on what our colleagues tell us. So I always have my ear to the ground in just making sure to see what needs to be developed, what needs to be met.
What would you love to do if there's one thing, one ambition of, what would you like? Is there something out there you think, I want to hold a meeting?
Euro Today. We're doing it right now. Collaboration with the actual people that you want to meet. It's the people that they are your colleagues, the people that you admire, the people that are producing great stuff. Because quite honestly, like you said, Brian, there's a lot of stuff out there that really should not be out there. And it's about finding the people that are doing something good and making sure that you're backing them up and making sure that they continue their success, even though they're going to continue without you anyway. But if you can be a little part of it, to me, that's all I want to do. And right now, we've been able to do some really cool stuff. We just gave our first fellowship to somebody, a colleague in low- and middle-income country.
Really?
And we have given two travel grants for patient advocates to attend, one to ESMO Breast, the other one to ASCO.
Amazing.
So this is the cool thing. It's to be able to do something good and to be able to work with people that you really admire and people you really like. And hopefully it's something that we can continue.
We have to end on that because we don't have anything that good.
I was slightly embarrassed because I was thinking about having a Euromigo Sports Day.
Let's do that.
That's not quite the same as helping lower income countries, Brian.
Tell us about the conference and the cup and all that. That was a big leap forward, wasn't it?
Yeah, meetings, we've done two. We'll have our third late September this year. And it sort of grew organically out of the podcast. Actually, we went to a meeting in the Canary Islands.
Yes.
That was no slides, just show up and talk. And I was like, this is awesome.
Oh, that was cool.
It was awesome, right? Yeah, number one, you don't have to prepare anything. But number two is just conversational, very few slides that they showed. And I was like, we should do this in the U.S. because it's just like doing a podcast. Faculty loves it because they can just show up and talk about their expertise, they don't have to prepare anything. And it's sort of grown from there. The Euromigos Cup we did last year.
I'm standing up here again. I've got to get the down. Why do I keep doing that?
It's been on your pedestal.
You always don't fall off a tower over me.
I think it's because I feel I haven't come back here.
Uncle Alert has now dropped to number 5.
Anyway, the live meeting's been awesome. It's a ton of work. Really cool. So congrats to Silke and everyone for doing this meeting. But
I love you. I love your podcast.
I love you too. Oh, God. Well, that's all we've time for.
Should we call it?
I think we should call it. Yeah, thankfully, before this gets too weird.
Yeah. Congrats.
So that's all we have.
Oh, we should do a merchandise swap.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They sell merchandise.
I'm not giving away for that.
Yeah, yeah.
I sell it. I don't know if that's the right time.
Okay. ASCO merchandise swap.
We do that.
There you go.
Definitely. Sounds good.
So that's it. We'll sign off here from the Euro podcasters love in here.
I think we're famous.
Cheers.
Bye.